Today's episode of Rob's Podcast is sponsored by Omaha Steaks. Check out this amazing deal that they've got for the holiday season for RHAP listeners. For just $49.99, you could send a gift to somebody that could feed a merge feast. It's 75% off. Just enter the code Rob in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. That's 75% off, an outstanding offer. Just type in the word Rob in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our exit interview after another exciting week of Survivor. And today we're going to be talking with Desi, the latest person voted out of the Solewa tribe. Got a lot of questions for Desi after last night's show, so looking forward to that conversation. Of course, that I got into everything from the episode with Stephen Fishback last night on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. We've got some really great podcasts coming up here in the next couple of days. I'm going to be talking with Todd Herzog a little bit later on this afternoon, and it's going to be the first time in over 4 years after everything that Todd has been through. Going to talk with him about what he thinks about this season and obviously what's going on in his life. And then over the weekend, I'm going to get into your Survivor feedback questions with another fantastic guest. Brett LaBelle is going to join me on the podcast for your Survivor feedback show. So make sure you get your feedback questions in for Brett. Okay. And then, of course, after we get through with Desi, we're going to be getting into This Week in Survivor History with our great friend Josh Wiggler battling it out, a TEOS battle. Two battering rams are going to compete in the This Week in Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish. But that is coming up after we get through with Desi, who I can see is on the line. Desi, are you there?
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Good, Desi. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Desi, very sad to see you go last night. Obviously, we want to get into everything. My biggest question coming into that tribal council in terms of you going out is, how come you and Joe decided to vote for Ben and Lauren and not potentially try to vote for one another if you suspected a tie?
So this was actually a really tough moral dilemma that I had. And I had a pretty good inkling that they were splitting votes and knew pretty well that if I just wrote down Joe's name, I would stay in the game. That was clear to me. But we had gotten to a point in the game where Joe was the only person I trusted. He was the only person who I felt like I had had a conversation with, and he wasn't lying to my face. And that's, you know, of course, Rourke was voted out, Jess was voted out, so I kind of was left with Joe at that point, but I trusted him. And I trusted that he would remain loyal to me, and they wanted to remain loyal to him. So it was clear that I could vote his name, but I had a true, and that's why I was so scared at the end, because I knew my fate was in my hands, and I knew I could just write down his name and stay in the game. But I also felt like if I betrayed the one person who I trusted, and then also kind of expected that person to betray me as well, that I might never, even outside the game of Survivor, be able to trust anyone
again. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's where the tears came from. Like, not, oh my God, like, I lost Survivor, they voted for me, they hate me. It was like, I'm having this huge moral dilemma that's way bigger than the game of Survivor. And I was having those conversations in confessionals, it just wasn't shown on TV.
Okay, so were you in the know that Cole and Dr. Mike were going to be voting against you guys and Joe specifically?
I thought we had all decided to vote for Lauren, which explains my Lauren vote. Like, I didn't just randomly throw out a name and decide that. Like, we'd had a conversation about all putting down Lauren's name and expecting the remaining people to split votes. And that's where we came to that decision. So I was shocked when they didn't go with us, but also at the same time not, because that's also the reason why Joe became my closest ally and not Cole or Mike, because I knew that they were a little paranoid and a little erratic and that they were liable to switch at any point in time.
Okay. So we talked a lot last night about how that there were 11 people in the game, but only 10 votes were cast. Did that strike you or anybody at the tribal council as unusual?
And it's easy to watch it back and be like, oh, it's so obvious that they only read 5 votes. But in the moment, like, and you've been there, you're hungry, you're starving. Like, I wasn't even counting votes. I was more shocked that, like, hey, why didn't everybody vote Lauren? Like, we decided to vote Lauren. That was really my shock in the moment. So I had no clue that only 10 votes are red.
Yeah.
It even crossed my mind until someone came to Ponderosa and told me.
I think also that with four people having votes cast for them, I think that that also helped complicate the situation and muddy the waters in terms of where if it was like, okay, 5 votes Joe, 5 votes Desi. All right, now it's a tie. I think that maybe that might have been a little bit more of an obvious situation to figure out the accounting on that. But can you talk about why do you feel like it was you specifically and not Joe who the tribe decided to vote out? Because Joe was seen as such a troublemaker based on what we've seen in the episodes. And here you are not bothering anybody.
Right. Joe's a troublemaker, but I think they didn't see him as a threat long term. And this is why. First, it became clear from both the individual immunity challenges that Joe wasn't very good at winning individual immunity challenges. And so as long as he didn't have an idol, like, you can probably get him out at any point in this game. I think secondly, if by some stroke of luck, he somehow made it to Final Tribal, I think people were banking on the fact that he pissed off enough people en route to Final Tribal that nobody was going to vote for him. So I think I was a scarier player at that point in the game where it was clear that I was a strong individual immunity player and a strong player, period, and that people didn't hate me. So they might just vote for me if I make it to Final Tribal. So from the outside looking in, it's like, why would they do that? But from where I stood, it made total sense.
Desi, do you feel like that you should have downplayed how good you were going to be in these immunity challenges and not gone all out in the first couple of challenges?
I also think before the first individual immunity challenge even went down, it was clear to everyone how big of a physical threat I was. So if that were my tactic from day one, I would have had to play it down. And that doesn't seem, Survivor's so tough and that early on you want to help your team so you don't want to suck. And then you don't want to be the biggest physical threat post-merge. But I had already proven myself a physical threat. And had I not won that first individual immunity, I was going home that first post-merge vote for that reason. So it's easy to say like, oh, just play it down. But I knew I was a target because of how well I was performing in challenges since day one.
It seemed like that there was an opportunity after the vote where Alan went home, where Ashley and Devin were talking to you about, hey, would you vote with us? Would you throw Joe under the bus? Did you feel like that there was an opportunity to potentially just jump ship away from the healers and get in better with the Hero Hustler Alliance that was forming?
So, and like where we were still three tribes versus where we were post-merge is very different. And where my relationship was with Joe even was very different at that point. So had we lost, like, yeah, maybe there's a possibility I would have voted for Joe to keep myself from going to Rocks and potentially going home. But where we were post-merge, it doesn't make sense to be at the bottom of another alliance. So had I chose to jump ship, I still would have been at the bottom. So it's all, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, that's all we do, Desi. Come on.
I know. That's what you specialize in. But I was more coming from, I was trying to at least come from a place of the fact that historically, if we watch 34 seasons of Survivor, physical threats do not win this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who we should be getting out. We should be getting out strategic threats. So that was a narrative I was trying to play because by the time we had merged, it was clear that physically, I do well in the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way. There was no way to mask that at that point.
So there was a moment in the episode last night where it was Cole and Joe and Dr. Mike were all sort of huddled up and Cole was saying, okay, guys, I don't have the idol. And they were sort of seemingly trying to figure things out strategically. Were you involved in those conversations and we just didn't see that that those were taking place? Or were those guys just sort of having conversations for the healers and not really including you with those?
No, you know how this game works. I was in a confessional when that all went down. And I think that's what ultimately switched everybody's vote over. So it was actually kind of frustrating because they took me into a confessional right before, you know, we went on lockdown to go to tribal council. So before I left, it was like, oh, we're all voting for Lauren. I kind of still thought Cole had an idol, but didn't really expect Cole to win or to play his idol. So I wasn't a part of that conversation because I was not there. Not because the healers were trying to keep me out of the loop. So that's the unfortunate thing about survivors is sometimes when you can't control not being a part of the conversation.
Sure.
And by the time I got back from confessional, we were already preparing to go to tribal when there's absolutely no talking.
Were you mad when you found out that Dr. Mike had an idol that could have potentially been used to save you?
No, not mad. And Dr. Mike inherently is like a paranormal type of person. So never in a million years did I think that Dr. Mike would play his idol for anybody but himself.
Okay. Can you talk about your relationship in the game with Chrissy? Did you feel like that you had a decent opportunity to work with her?
I approached Chrissy and tried to have a conversation about the game with her. And it very quickly became apparent that she had no interest in working with me in the game. So I gave it up very quickly. So I think we've seen now, you know, four women go out back to back, and Chrissy was probably the ringleader in all of those. But Chrissy really didn't want to work with women, but she especially didn't want to work with women she was threatened by. So she had no interest in working with me. That was a lost cause.
Okay. What about some of the other players that were from that Hero Hustler Alliance? What about somebody like Ryan?
Ryan, I couldn't get a good read on. Like, Ryan is charming enough and he'll have good conversation, but it also never felt like a true conversation. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the only people I felt like maybe I had a real conversation with, that they might be telling the truth with, was Lauren, Devin, and Ashley. And I had a few conversations with Ben, but was never really truly convinced. But those three people I sort of thought we were playing the game together. Mm-hmm. And obviously we weren't. But never did I really feel like Ryan was interested in playing the game with me.
Okay. Who did you think ended up having the idol after that whole big melee broke out?
I was still convinced that Cole might have it, and because he wasn't doing a good job of convincing us otherwise. He was just like, no, like, I don't know, man, like, whatever, man. So I actually thought Cole had the idol in that moment, up until I really later on, like when somebody else came to Ponderosa, they were like, no, like, Cole did not have the idol.
Going back to that tribal council where Devin had the secret advantage played against him, how upset were you with Joe? Because it was hard to get a good read from the episode that you seemed frustrated that he overplayed his hand. But then coming out of that episode that obviously he played the idol correctly, were you angry with him at any point, or were you guys completely on the same page?
I was frustrated and annoyed with Joe because even before Joe blew up, I knew Joe had an idol. I had already been told that back at Healer Beach that Joe had an idol. So I knew he had an idol and just felt like he had put a target on my back. So I truly was pissed at Joe in that moment and was truly like, you know, if you are so certain, play that idol for me. But Joe's whole thing was like, you know, if I play the idol incorrectly and I go home, like it's still you next, which makes sense as well. So I was frustrated with Joe. I was annoyed, but in that moment, I totally had to trust Joe's instincts, and they worked out for us crazily. But after that, I didn't feel a strong allegiance to Joe at that point as I did post-merge, post-specifically Jess's vote out. Because Jess, I would say, was still my strongest ally post-merge.
Now, in the preseason of season 35, you spoke with Josh Wiggler, and you talked about how that you were really studying the David Bloomberg rules of why players go on to lose Survivor. Now, you obviously were not the winner of this season. Do you feel like that you were able to perfectly execute David Bloomberg's rules and there is a flaw in the rules, or do you feel like that you weren't able to pull off what he has outlined in his strategy rule book?
I think his rule book is probably still a good one to follow by. It just wasn't nearly as easy for me to follow as I thought. I thought that I'd be able to separate real life versus game Desi and be deceitful and scheme and plot and lie to people. And that's just not who I am. It was so much harder for me than I could have ever anticipated. Because I am a competitor and I'm always like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. But I guess now that I reflect on it, like I do whatever it takes to win within reason and within my moral code. And I couldn't lie to people. I couldn't lie the way I thought I could. which makes it hard to scheme and plot.
Desi, now I hope that this isn't a spoiler, but I want to ask you a question. Did the girl who was competing to win Miss World Fiji go on to win with your coaching?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I'm sure this won't be a spoiler for anyone. Unfortunately, she did not go on to Fiji. So I lose yet again. No. But, you know, like anything else, your fate's in somebody else's hands. So it was still good. Hopefully she had a good experience. Now, of course, at Ponderosa, we don't have access to any way to, like, communicate with someone.
Yes.
But she did not win Miss World Fiji, unfortunately.
All right, Desi, thank you so much that you were very fun to watch this season, and all the best to you moving forward, okay?
Yeah, it was a fun ride. Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care, Desi. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Very sad news if you watch the Ponderosa video, because Desi was coaching up one of the people that worked at the Ponderosa who was competing in a beauty pageant, not unlike Kramer, who was trying to help the girl who was Miss Delaware back in Seinfeld. But Desi was not ultimately able to help herself win the game or help Miss World Fiji ultimately be victorious. So sad news, but in other news that I will then go on to try and be victorious in the This Week in Survivor History quiz, which is coming up next. Let's get ready to switch gears and get ready into this highly anticipated edition of the This Week in Survivor History quiz. And let's bring in the man who many people said that he had his best week in recent memory on the podcast last week. Here he is, Jordan Kalish.
How's it going? Are you talking about my one question that I asked on the Seinfeld podcast, the fact that we didn't record this Week in Survivor History last week?
Who's to say? I can't read the tea leaves, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, coming off a great time at Know It Alls, it was really great to see everybody, to hang out with some of my friends that I see a lot, to meet new patrons, to meet new listeners, and then, you know, being able to hang out with Suri for a little bit was a really great cherry on top of the night. So, awesome time. Thanks, Rob, for hosting it. And thank you to, you know, wherever Josh Wiggler is out there for that great Probst video that he was able to secure.
Yes. Well, the man who brought Jeff Probst to the big screen finally after all these years, he's here for a very special grudge match. Please welcome the co-host of the Survivor Wiggle Room with me every single week, the person who is bringing all of the Survivor to THR.com, and the creator of First One Out, the great Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm doing
How's
well.
Your foot?
I'm Deese. The foot is Deese as well. The foot is Deese.
Good.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. A little nervous.
Careful, Josh. No, we haven't had any medevacs from the quiz yet, and I don't want you to be the first.
This is a true story. I ever since the incident, is what we're calling it, that I nearly ran over. Not nearly. I mean, I did run over my own toe. I sit in my chair in such a way that I position my feet underneath the wheels of my chair. And you would think that I would have learned to stop doing that after the incident, but I'm still doing it. Like my feet are just positioned directly under those wheels, and it's going to happen again. So I'm standing right now. It's not a joke. I'm actually standing as we're doing this podcast. I'm taking a page out of the Rob Sesternino playbook.
I'm standing as well. Now, I would love to get the origin story. How did this come about? Josh, did you approach Deese and say you wanted to be on the quiz? Or Jordan, had you been chasing Josh for many weeks to make this happen?
The floor is yours, Jordan.
I wouldn't say I was chasing Josh.
You were the aggressor.
I was the aggressor. I slid into the DMs and said, Josh, would you like to take on Robin this week in Survivor History? It was a resounding yes. We were able to come up with a date, and here we are.
And Josh, did Jordan come on too strong, or that very professional approach to asking you to be on the show?
Jordan Kalish is one of the most professional human beings I've ever encountered.
That's what everybody says.
He is a decent man. Some would even say Deese. Some would say Deeses to this man, but I would not. I would not.
All right.
As a great man once said, I don't disagree.
How can you say no to the voice of Spencer Bledsoe?
And apparently to the voice of Ryan Elder, according to Antonio Mazzara.
We don't need to do that.
Who knew? All right, so we are going to get to the quiz in just a minute, but first, let me thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. I'm very excited to have this sponsor on board because I have long been a fan of Omaha Steaks. It's pretty much one of the best gifts that you can give or get this holiday season. It is always tough to, especially there's a lot of people that it's like, oh, what do you get them? What do you get them? Nobody's ever disappointed with the Omaha Steaks. It's so easy and people are always happy that I've gotten Omaha Steaks from people for years, and I'm always thrilled that the first time I ever got it, that my brother was visiting and my parents were like, hey, you guys have a great time. Go barbecue the whole week. And Omaha Steaks has a great offer for the listeners of Robinson Podcast. For just $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code ROB in the search bar. Just search for Rob like it's a thing that you would order from Omaha Steaks, okay? Because Omaha Steaks has over 500 gourmet gift ideas in addition to the special Rob promo code. Amazing, flavorful, tender aged beef, seafood, poultry, pork, veggies, desserts, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, which is about as long as Desi went on Survivor, coincidentally.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's not ouch. That's great.
It's just too soon. It's just too soon. It's just too soon.
Yeah.
It's too soon.
So check this out. Omaha Steaks is giving this exclusive savings offer just to our listeners. Listen to everything you're going to get for less than $50, two filet mignon, two sirloin, two boneless pork chop, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets.
Out of three desserts in two steaks. My bad.
No, you get more than that. When
keep plus, Joe Menna away from the Omaha Steaks. He's gonna overcook them. It's gonna be a
he'll
botching.
Love them, but he shouldn't be the one cooking them.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus an Omaha Steaks seasoning packet. Plus you get an extra four additional kielbasa sausages. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the promo code Rob in the search bar. You'll be happy that you did. 75% off savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit. You don't have to go out on Survivor to get a steak. Okay. Have one in the comfort of your own home with your family. That's right. Okay. Jordan, let's get into the quiz this week. Do you want to reset for Tyler Weigert how this is all going to work?
Don't validate. Do not validate.
Okay, all right. So we haven't recorded in 2 weeks. I'm going to remind Josh Wigler and the listeners at home of the rules. I have prepared four multiple choice questions for you. Each of you get to answer two of these questions. If you choose not to hear the multiple choices and you get a correct answer, you'll get 2 points. Sorry, if you hear the choices and you are correct, you'll receive 1 point. So we have our four categories today that you'll get to choose from. We have Survivor History Repeats Itself, Mythical Creatures, Shambo Puri, and Hello PG.
Shambo Puri.
All right.
I don't think that was the official pick.
Yeah, no, I'm just contemplating the notion.
Yeah.
The notion of Shambo Puri. Mythical creatures is also fascinating. I imagine that there may be a you may not want to miss the mark on that. I kind of like the idea of mythical creatures because I just want to know what that's all about.
All right, so let's hear it. We're going to Samoa from the episode Tastes Like Chicken. This is from November 12th, 2009, 7 years ago this past Sunday. What mythical creature did Russell call Laura Moret while telling Shambo about his plan to idle her out of the game?
What mythical creature?
I think I know it.
Oh my gosh.
As featured in the Evolution of Strategy chapter 19, available at evolutionstrategy.com.
You expect me to remember anything that happened in the Evolution of Strategy? That is a wild assertion. What mythical creature did he call Laura Moret to Shambo?
I called her a D-Schoolish.
Yeah, I don't think that nickname had been invented yet all the way in 2009.
I invented it.
I think it was Jordan Kalish back then.
Jordan Kalish back then. Mythical creature. I don't know why I want to say a banshee, but I kind of want to say a banshee. But maybe that's just because I still have I'm a wild banshee stuck in my mind.
And you know you can get the choices.
Oh, I can get the choices. I would like to get the choices.
Then you get only 1 point if you get it right with the choices.
Oh, I'll just stack up 1 point. So let's get the choices. Let's get choices here.
So we have A, Medusa, B, a harpy, C, a banshee, D, Macumber, the blue-eyed giant.
Oh, my God. Well, it's not Macumber, though. I love Macumber. And I do believe that we are all living in the eye of Macumber, the blue-eyed giant.
Macumber!
That is my official... Macumber! Yeah, that's officially my religion. Well, it's odd that I said banshee, and now banshee is a choice. Is that a validation of that being the correct answer? Or is that because you too, Jordan Kalish, were not able to get your mind out of the Patrick Bolton gutter? I'm gonna hopefully not psych myself out and talk myself out of my own answer. I'm gonna go with the harpy. I think it's the harpy. I feel like it's the harpy.
All right. So the harpy, is that your final answer?
Let's go with harpy.
All right. Rob, let's hear the clip.
The only thing that can derail this is her winning immunity.
If Medusa wins immunity,
no!
We get rid of one of our posse.
Yep.
Medusa. I can't believe you didn't remember that Russell called Laura. She Medusa.
I genuinely have no memory of the evolution of strategy. Like my memory of especially like a chapter like Samoa is completely fried from my brain at this point. My little brain cannot process the memory my not so brilliant brain. Okay, Medusa. That feels mean. So I guess that's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean the banshee I did put in there because of this season, and the harpy I went with the Macumber as a joke answer, but a harpy, you have the Sons of the Harpy Game of Thrones angle there as well. So unfortunately you get 0 points
right
on this question.
That, Josh.
That's all right. That's okay. I walked into it. I'm used to getting no points on anything. So it could be. I mean, you should listen to me on Beat My Guest with AJ Mass. It did not go well. Very poorly.
Mike Bloom started off not doing so well in his first Twitch appearance, and he ended up beating Rob in the end. So let's. You have 0 points. I haven't done any of the incorrect hashtag Kalish math yet. So Rob, it is your turn. You can pick from any of the three remaining categories.
Okay, I will go with Shambo Puri.
All right, Shambo Puri. This is from the same episode of Survivor Samoa. At the tribal council in which Russell played his second immunity idol and Kelly Sharbaugh was voted out, who did Shambo vote for in that tribal council?
I don't know. I would have to... it doesn't sound like it's that she's part of the Sharbaugh group. She hated Medusa. She had a good hate into Laura Moret. I don't know. I'm not going to get the choices because you're going to just give me like the people I'm thinking about anyway. So I am going to go with that she voted for Laura Moret.
All right. Laura Moret, is that your final answer?
Yes.
Shambo, 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 Shambo.
Russell is the answer. You were either right or wrong. Not sure because the quiz takes place after I wrote this song.
Shambo, Shambo.
You know, there's a reason why we ask people to submit their songs for the Wando ahead of time, so I could really cut them down to just the meat, like a delicious Omaha
like a delicious
steak.
Omaha steak. In a perfect world, too.
Delicious bone-in ribeye.
Always good to get a good jai-ho going on here whenever I'm involved in a podcast. It's always my favorite thing.
I know. I had a feeling you would like that. And that wasn't by me. That was Shambo by A.R. Rahman and the Pussycat Ederson Dolls. And it's from the movie Slumdog Millionaire, starring Devin Pintel Dev Pinto and Dev Patel combination.
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah.
Jumping the tiger once again.
Right. So unfortunately, through all of that, as you heard in the song, Shambo voted for Russell Hans here. She knew that Russell was going to play his idol at this tribal council, but wanted to make it seem like she was still with her old glue tribe. And actually, Laura Moret had immunity here, which is why the vote went towards Kelly in the first place.
Okay.
So we're tied 0-0. Not a great start.
This is standard though. Like we're both losers. Yeah, it's very soft. Yeah. The softest beats.
Yes, and Josh, it is your question. You have two categories to choose from. Which one would you like?
Remind me the categories once more, please.
All right, we have Survivor History Repeats Itself and Hello PG.
I know that the obvious place for me to go would be to go Hello PG, but I actually don't know how up on my PG law I am right now, so I will go with Survivor History Repeats Itself.
All right, Survivor History Repeats Itself. This is from the Survivor Blood versus Water, My Brother's Keeper. This is from November 13th, 2013, 4 years ago this past Monday. This week in Survivor History on Blood versus Water, Jervis came in second place in the Gross Food Immunity Challenge after not being able to eat two grubs faster than his opponent. This mirrored Jervis's performance in Borneo, Survivor's very first season, after he wasn't able to eat two grubs faster than his opponent in the tiebreaker for Tribal Immunity. Who were the two women who have defeated Jervis in the grub-eating race?
Do I get partial credit if I get one or I have to get both?
You got to get both to get the question right. And you can always hear the multiple choice options for 1 point.
Jordan. Okay.
It's classic the two Deese, women, Josh.
I know. This is, feels very Deese. he's a decent man. Okay. Well, I feel confident about Stacey Stillman. Being one of the two, being of course not the one from Blood versus Water. I don't think that she's part of Modern Survivor. Who did he lose against? So he would have been, he could have been going up against the two women that have defeated Jervis Peterson in the grub eating contest in Blood versus Water. Maybe. Just give me the multiple choice. I'm so terrible at this. Just do it. I want to hear the choices.
We have for now for 1 point. We have A, Laura Moret and Stacey Stillman, B, Laura Moret and Sue Hawk, C, Monica Culpepper and Stacey Stillman, D, Monica Culpepper and Sue Hawk.
Okay. Then it's got to be Monica Culpepper. Monica Culpepper has to be the answer. Stacey Stillman and Monica Culpepper,
so final answer.
That's what I'm going with. Yeah, I'm happy to be wrong if I'm wrong, but I feel like maybe I've got a Deese shot here.
A Deese shot. So, Rob, let's hear. There's two clips for this question. One from Borneo, one from Blood versus Water. You need to get them both to get the 1 point.
Stacey and Jervis.
Yep.
Okay, Stacey, come down here. Switch places with Dirk.
All right, one for one. Okay, let's see if you got the second one.
I feel good about that. I feel good about that.
Monica has it.
Yes.
Monica wins immunity.
Yes, she does.
All right, congratulations, Josh.
What's
you are
best
on the
for
board.
Monica eating grubs?
Yes, yes. Well, Josh, this actually did come up in my interview with Brad and Monica a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like you didn't listen to 2 hours of Brad and Monica a couple of weeks back.
I don't mean to, you know, fall on the sword on that.
A great exchange between Brad and Monica about Monica's performance in the Gross Food Challenge and what she's willing to do or not do when immunity is and is not on the line.
I will confess that it is lost somewhere in the ether of the 5 million podcasts you release on a weekly basis, Rob.
All right. So, Josh, the good news is you do have a point. You are in the lead. You have a 1-0 lead, first one on the board. And, Rob, the only category left is Hello PG. We're going to go to, of course, Survivor China, Just Don't Eat the Apple from November 15th, 2007, 10 years ago yesterday. In Survivor China, the episode in which Frosty was voted out ended on a cliffhanger. Firstly, let me just tell you guys that PG won immunity in this episode. This has nothing to do with my question, but I know that Wiggler appreciates the shout out to PG.
Shout out to PG.
Yeah. Hello, PG. Probst told the contestants after the Frosty vote that they would be sticking around Tribal for some additional business. What was this additional business?
PG got to take people on a special reward.
So you're saying, so the a reward challenge is what followed. Let's see. Actually, there's no clip for this one. You are correct. Yes, it was a reward challenge. PG did win the reward challenge. All you had to say was reward challenge, but you got some extra credit. Not really extra credit in the points.
And he went to a dojo.
They did. He took Denise. It was the greatest, greatest time of her life.
Denise loved it. That was literally the best moment of her entire existence.
Oh yeah, and that was great. That was a really great reward.
That was back when China. I was still high on Denise the Lunch Lady before I found out the truth.
Yeah, she wasn't actually the lunch lady.
I remember that from the Evolution of Strategy. Yeah, How could I forget?
That was one of the most shocking things about the Evolution of Strategy. Listening to that you hadn't heard that story before. I figured that was something that was so big at the time. But your raw reaction to that was so much fun. And
I wasn't watching that season live, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
So maybe I missed the story there, but it was worth being in the dark on that one for so many years, so that I could have
to
such
be enlightened.
A
yeah.
Yeah. It was a terrible enlightenment. The worst enlightenment
was the darkest timeline. Actually, no, that was Thailand. But all right, so we're going to go to the death match. Rob, you have a 2-1 lead. So Josh is going to start first on this final question. The way it's going to work, you'll alternate answering questions. Once you give an incorrect answer, you are out. So your opponent gets to keep answering until they're wrong. Here we go. The following 8 people were voted out this week in Survivor history. 4 of them were booted on a unanimous vote. The other 4 had at least one of their tribe mates voting for someone besides them. Your job is to pick the 4 contestants who were voted out unanimously. A wrong answer eliminates you from receiving any more points on this question. So I'm going to read you the names of the people in alphabetical order.
Oh my God, you went through that so quickly. Oh my God, that felt so complicated. All right.
Yeah. So you're just picking out, there's going to be 8 people. 4 of them were voted out on a unanimous vote. You have to give me the 4 that were voted out unanimously without giving me a wrong answer. So,
so you're going to give us the list and then we're going to go back and forth.
All right. So I'm going to list for you the 8 contestants who were voted out this week in Survivor history. And again, you have to pick the 4 that were voted out unanimously. So we have Brenda from Nicaragua, Frosty from China, Jamie from Guatemala, Jenny Guzan, I Love You Bay. We have from Cook Islands. We have Rhino from Pearl Islands. Rebecca Borman, also from Cook Islands. This was a double tribal. Vetus from Blood versus Water and Whitney from South Pacific. And Josh, you are trailing. You get to go first.
Okay. I'm going to go first with it's feeling cold in here. I'm going to go with Frosty.
Frosty is correct. That is a point. It is tied 2-2. Rob, it is your guess.
Boy. I'll go with Jenny Guzan, Love You Bay.
Jenny Guzan, Love You Bay. Unfortunately, Rob, that is incorrect. So,
Boy.
We have a tie 2-2. Josh, if you get this one wrong, we'll go to a tiebreaker. And if you get it right, you win the quiz.
Oh, my God. This is a very exciting moment in time for me. All right. So I have to pick the right person. Okay. Just thinking, just doing some. I feel like Whitney was unanimously voted out of her tribe. I feel like Whitney Duncan was I think that she was the last of the what were they? Were they the Savai? She was the least Savai or the most Savai. I think that it's Whitney. I'm going to go with Whitney.
Whitney was voted out in that episode. Dawn also voted out in this episode before Whitney. Dawn did go first, and Whitney was voted out in a 7-1 unanimous vote. So, Wiggler, you win by a score of 3-2. Congratulations. The other correct answers were Rhino and Rebecca Borman. And Rob, you said Jenny Guzan Bay. Nate actually voted for Penner along with Jenny. So,
How could I forget? Second vote, yes, got screwed
by Nate, and I'm sorry about that. Josh, congratulations. A big comeback win. You have won 3-2.
It's amazing that it all comes back to Medusa, you know, in the end. So this is a fantastic development. I feel honored. It is my honor and my Jervis to have out-twished Rob Sestrovino this week.
Yes. All right.
Rob, you haven't won in 4 weeks with last week not doing the quiz, Mike beating you the week before that. This is that true? Or did maybe you beat Caitlin?
I honestly am not sure how I'm going to sleep tonight. It'll be a restless night. I'll be, kicking myself and just pacing around the office until I have the opportunity.
Fire up the barbecue. You are just going to eat every single one of those fine Omaha meat products until you get yourself into a nice meat coma and curl up into a ball and you shall sleep. And it'll be glorious.
Give it a shot. All right. Well, Josh Wiggler, congratulations on your well-deserved win. To hear more about Josh Wiggler's musings on Survivor, of course, The Evolution to Strategy, 30 seasons of Survivor goodness available for you, 300 hours for you to be able to sink your teeth into, whether it's now or in the Survivor offseason, all at Evolution to Strategy. .com. And of course, D-Schoolish will be back next week with another quiz.
Yep. Next week, we already have the guest lined up. I won't spoil who it is. And Josh, thanks for coming on. And again, congratulations.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Jordan. This was a great, great treat. Rob, I promise not to gloat about this in the wiggle room. Or if I do, I'll save it for the wand off so nobody has to listen to it.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Take care, guys.
I'll listen. I'm very pro Wandoff, just for the record.
That's because you're a good human being.
Yes. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You too.
Everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor history, tough break for your boy. Knew the Medusa question, but what are you going to do? All right, so we will pick that back up next week. So getting very excited for the Todd interview and obviously the Brett LaBelle interview coming up over the weekend. So you get your feedback questions in a number of ways to do that. robisawebsite.com/voicemail or call 323-282-RHAP. You could also email the show, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. And also, don't forget, Brett LaBelle will be one of the survivors joining us in Austin, Texas for the last Survivor Know-It-Alls show of the year coming up, Austin, Texas, December 6th. For ticket information, go to robhasawebsite.com/AustinKIA. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.